Hey guys, welcome back to Beyond the Barbell, brought to you by Reebok, the official outfitter of CrossFit and the CrossFit Games, which have recently moved to Wisconsin.
Yeah, I'm Blair Morrison, and that's kind of the topic of today's episode, the newly moved CrossFit Games, with one of its newest participants, Kirsten Pedry.
Yay.
Yeah.
She seems really excited.
She seems very excited, but she told me she's very tired from all of her training, right? Before you got here, she was just like, I am tired all the time.
I'm tired, but I'm excited.
You're tired, but excited. How does that work? What happens? Why are you tired? Are you ramping up your training? What's going on right now for you?
I'm just doing a little bit of everything. I'm doing everything every day, pretty much, and a lot of stuff that's hard for me every day. So I'm doing swimming and running and being outside in the sun and gymnastics, and I just don't want to leave anything out. So I'm doing everything.
Isn't it amazing how tiring it is just to like go for a run in the heat?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I've always found that funny. No matter how much you do it, like there's nothing that saps your energy more than doing that.
Absolutely. And I definitely want to be, I don't know what it's going to be like necessarily in Wisconsin. I think the weather's a little less predictable than SoCal. But you know, you hear about the mugginess, and I want to be used to sweating a lot. And I don't want to be like, affected by the elements in any way. So I'm trying to be as uncomfortable as I can every day.
When do you start to taper?
I mean, I think that'll probably happen naturally when we travel. We're going to get to Wisconsin on Thursday before we check in on Monday. So I'll have like a couple of days of, you know, probably just getting into the gym a little bit. I've gotten in touch with a gym out there that I'll get to go to and probably run and maybe try to get into the lake early swimming. But I think that'll just kind of happen naturally. I like to train a lot. I think my body responds well to it. So I don't know like how much actual tapering I'll do until I actually get there.
Well, I think that, I'm actually jealous of this time. Like, you have this cool time to really just focus on you and just kind of harness some of those, I don't know, maybe skill sets you've had for a while, but really try to sharpen them up. Is there like any one in particular that you've been working on?
I mean, definitely swimming right now is a big focus for me because I don't have like a swimming background, and I want to be able to kind of hold my own in the water there. And I think running too. I was definitely, there's a few things that I wasn't able to do when I was injured. So now to be able to like attack those things again is pretty fun. And running was one of those things that I felt like I'd made some progress on and then kind of lost the progress when I couldn't run for a while. And so even though it's hard and I'm not, you know, maybe like a naturally great runner, I think it's fun to see like progress in things that you're, you know, that you've struggled with or had a hard time getting better at.
You're just getting so tan.
I know. That's what I'm trying to do. Yeah. I've been waiting to make the games to get a tan. It's finally happening.
That's perfect.
I think it's really interesting to listen to athletes and the different approaches to getting ready for the CrossFit Games. Mm-hmm. Invariably, what I feel like I hear is that people are getting in the pool. They're just swimming their butts off.
Yeah.
Even though there's only one swimming
event. Right.
And I think that's just like the way we naturally approach unknown things is what's the thing that I could possibly do the worst at, or what's the thing that's the scariest for me? And I'm going to kind of really hammer on that.
Yeah.
When in reality, it's really not that big a part of the weekend, right?
Yeah.
How do you kind of balance that and not fall into that trap too much as you lead up to the games?
So I think the thing about swimming that makes it, at least for me, like something I'm doing, you know, multiple times in a week, is that there is sort of that chance of like kind of like freaking out and completely like losing your shit in the middle of a lake. So I want to be comfortable in the water. And then also it just like easily complements like a full training day. So I'll do a normal, totally full training day. And then at night I'll go to the pool. So I'm not like leaving anything out in order to swim. It doesn't like it makes me tired and like really hungry and like at the end of the day, whatever, but it's not like beating me down to the ground where like the next day I'm like, oh, I can't do this or that. Cause it's not as like hard on your body, I guess. It's just like tough kind of like mentally, I think mentally swimming is hard cause you're just like silent. You're just like alone.
Well, it's not weight bearing, right?
Right.
So your joints get a break.
Totally. So it's kind of a nice way to end the day or like a little thing you can do in the middle of the day. And, so it doesn't feel like too much. You know, I think it would be different if it was like, I'm going to deadlift every single day because I'm bad at deadlifting. Like, you'd probably be pretty wrecked. Swimming just kind of like, it's like a little extra hour.
And you mentioned the mental discipline it takes to swim. And that's absolutely true. It's probably one of the most mentally challenging sports. We, every year when we're at the games, Ben and I talk to athletes and coaches who, you know, when you evaluate the arc of the weekend, mm-hmm. it's really important to not get too high or too low off after a set event. And that kind of implies a lot of mental toughness and also just like an experience level where, you know, like, I need to address each event with the same level of intensity as the one before it, mm-hmm. regardless of if I did good or bad.
Totally.
That being said, it's really hard to pull that off, you know? You always see, for the most part, the people that start off the weekend well, they tend to carry that momentum. And the people that start off the weekend bad, and I'm saying bad like lower half of the field, they've rarely bounced back. So I think what you're talking about, maybe establishing some, you know, inner monologue, some thought, some positive thinking. You know, that's got to be almost, I would think, if I were going to the games now, that would be like my main focus. Mm-hmm. I would say I'm probably going to get maybe a little fitter between now and the games. But it's mostly about, am I mentally ready for this grind?
Absolutely. And I think that that's something that me and Matt have been working on. I remember that every day when I'm in the middle of like a really hard workout, is that even if I'm getting like crushed by something that, you know, he's given me to do, like that is going to help me at the games. Or like when I'm tired at the end of the day and I'm like, I don't want to go to the pool. I'm tired. I'm hungry. Getting in the pool and doing it anyways is going to help me when I'm at the games and I'm tired and you have one more event, or you've, you know, been up all day and you've had one more event at night, or your body's tired and you still need to keep going. And that's like basically what Matt said to me. He said, you know, I can't guarantee you're going to win any event or be the best at anything. He's like, but you're going to be really tough. And that's what we're like working for, is just to be able to like show up, handle whatever they give us, not freak out if you do bad at something or great at something, and just like roll through the weekend.
And kind of like avoid survival mode.
Yeah.
You know, like people easily slip into survival mode where they're like, hey, it's enough for me just to do this and just to get, cause it's so hard.
Yeah.
But survival mode kills your weekend. Mm-hmm. Like you can look back and you're like, shit, I just, I totally played that wrong. Like survival mode is not the thing you want to be in.
So I'm curious, because I've seen you upset before when I ran into you in 2015, your knee was all, or 2016,
2016,
excuse me, when your knee was in the state it was, and we'll get to that. But in competition, are you a crier?
No.
Okay. So I think that's really good. I see girls start to break down and cry and hit these huge peaks and valleys of emotion.
Yeah.
And I think that crushes you.
Yeah.
I think that's so hard on your psyche, and to come back from that mentally is when you break down like that. So it sounds like you're getting tougher, you know, and you're ready for, you're trying to get ready for anything that Dave just says, hey, Ben, go demo this, you know? and you guys are like, oh my gosh, this is gonna be so hard. But we don't know what's coming in Wisconsin. That's part of making yourself tougher. Yeah. But we do know what happened in Del Mar. Mm-hmm. And we know about regionals. And you did really, really well. You know, can you kind of tell us about that weekend, how you felt going into that and where your confidence was at?
Yeah, I was really excited for regionals this year. Of course, I was so nervous because I had, you know, my goal of you know, qualifying for the games. And it's scary to like go in with that and you wonder, is it going to be enough? And, but I went in with, the belief that it was enough and that I was ready and that I was good enough. And, if I ever wavered on that, I just asked Matt, am I good enough? Is it, you know, is it real? Like, am I really good enough to be here? And he would just say yes. And I just believed him. And I just kind of tried to go in with a different, attitude, not like, I can't believe I'm here. Like, you know, I'm not as good as all these girls that I've been watching for whatever amount of years. And I kind of tried to go in with an attitude of like, yes, I belong here. Yes, I'm good enough. And I can absolutely, you know, show up to, you know, I guess I tried to go in, I'm going to try to go in like I'm going to win, not like I'm going to go in, I'm going to try to get fifth place. And I knew what I could do in every single workout. I knew why I was there. I knew how many people I had backing me up and supporting me. And I just had a freaking blast, you know? I just was like having so much fun. And I remembered what it felt like to have to withdraw in 2016. And like, it was so hard to let that opportunity go where I just wanted to walk out on the floor in 2016. Like, I just was like, I just want to be out there. And I knew it wasn't right. I knew I shouldn't go. And so just to be able to be out there, I mean, it was awesome. It was great. And I did, like, I really tried to have no highs and lows. Like, I do kind of believe in that. Like, if you fall apart and, you know, have all this crazy emotion after a workout, if you don't do well, or even like when I won an event, I was really like, okay, great. Let's move on. Like, I don't want to be like all high up for that either. So you just got to kind of like event to event, not worry about your placing, and just keep moving. Yeah.
Do you think the fact that you're an older athlete with respect to the field, that you've put in a lot of time before you got there, do you think that's an advantage for you?
I do. I feel like just for, honestly, the mental piece of it, because like I've probably been doing CrossFit the same amount of time as a lot of the girls out there that are maybe younger than me. But I feel like you just kind of realize like what really matters, and you kind of like are able to find the difference between it's kind of like being able to like really believe and like trust in your, what you've done to prepare, and being like proud of that instead of feeling like any sort of pressure to like show what you can do. It's just like, I know what I'm capable of doing. I know what my strengths and weaknesses are. And so I never went into a workout expecting something crazy that I wasn't capable of. You know, I just like, I know what I'm going to do. I know what my practice times are. So I'm going for that. And then if you go a little bit faster, cool. If you go a little bit slower, no big deal. So I think like just the like kind of mental like evenness comes from being a little bit older. And like four of the girls out of the five on the podium in California were 30 or older. And like, I think that's awesome. I think that probably says something to
just, that was crazy,
the maturity. Yeah. It was like wild. 'Cause I think China's 30, Alessandra's 31, I'm 35, and then Val's 38. So it's like,
Becca was right there.
Yeah.
30.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah. I think she's 35. I think she's 30. She's either my age or maybe 1 year older, okay. But I think
maybe she's 36.
Maybe she's 35.
She's right there. In
what, yeah. Seven? So it's pretty cool. I don't know. I thought that was awesome.
That is pretty incredible. What did you think when the programming started coming out? You know, as athletes, I think it's really easy to say the program is the programming and not really think about it because you don't want to say it's bad or
right.
It's good or
right.
It favors somebody, because then all of a sudden mentally you're kind of caving in,
right?
You know, and playing to the circumstance rather than controlling.
Yeah.
Right. But what did you think? Did you have any opinions? Did you guys discuss this?
Yeah. I think at first I was like, okay, I felt good about it. I think I like workouts, you know, and I'm not necessarily going to be like the strongest athlete out there. So not having just like a pure strength event, wasn't like the worst thing for me, but I still think there's always going to be like that weightlifting event. Like, I think the sandbag workout was the weightlifting event, you know? And like, so they're always going to like find the same, you know, like it's all still there. And at first, you know, I kind of was like, cool, this looks fun. And then you kind of go and you start practicing all of your weaknesses in each workout. And then you're like, oh my God, I suck at everything. And so it's like this like roller coaster of like, and then you kind of settle into like, okay, I can just do what I can do. But I mean, I thought the weekend was fun. I thought it was tested a lot of different stuff, and I loved how it ended with that last workout. I just loved that for the final workout. I think it was awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. Fun to watch. And like, it was the workout when I looked at them on paper. It's like, man, I don't want to do that one.
Yeah.
That's the one,
right?
I do not want to do.
Were you excited for that one? Did you like that one?
Yeah, I like that workout. I had some other issues going into that workout, i.e. dropping out of the final heat.
Right.
And that's the first time I missed a final heat in 6 years.
Mm.
So I had been in the final heat for the workout before.
Right.
And I actually did pretty well in my heat. But there were so many guys that did really well at that workout, in the muscle-up workout. So I dropped out.
Yeah.
I didn't get as much rest time as other guys. Same as everybody else in my who had earned that spot. Like, I earned to be in 12th. I didn't – it's not like somebody, like, screwed me or anything like that. But I just – I had a lot of self-doubt going into it. Like, oh, man, missed my first final heat in 6 years. I'm not going to jump into a podium spot or into a qualifying spot. So I tell people this. I say, a little bit of self-doubt mixed with a lot of pain is a really bad recipe.
Totally.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? And so that's me being completely transparent.
Absolutely.
I didn't want to, you know, I wasn't like, oh, my gosh, I shouldn't even be here. I suck. I just thought, you didn't do it.
Yeah.
You didn't put it together. And now you're going to go out and do this really painful workout for pride.
Right.
And like you said, being a little bit older athlete, sometimes you know who you are. And it's like, I could push really hard right now. And I just didn't.
Yeah.
You know, I'm being honest.
Right. Totally.
I'm looking forward to being done and being able to hang out with my kids.
Exactly. And that's what I'm doing. And I didn't get it done. And I would like to go
hang
out with my kids.
That's what you cannot do.
Totally.
Don't do
you
that.
Cannot
I'm
do
not
that.
Saying that's a recipe for success. That's a recipe
well,
for
no.
12.
I mean, I do think that the self-doubt thing
is
huge.
You're going to want to do that at some point.
I mean, I do think like, and even in practice, I'd done that workout. I mean, I don't even know how many times, but there was like one day where I can remember where I was like, oh, I suck on this stupid bike. And, you know, and my time was like 30 seconds slower. And then I'd done it on days where I was like, yes, okay, here we go. Attack it. Go for it. And it was like way faster. So I do think your mental state in that, like, I mean, in any workout goes such a long way. And I think luckily, you know, Matt, my coach is, really good at knowing what to say to me in those moments. And we've really, really practiced like having a short memory and letting go of things and just, keeping moving.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I totally agree. It's probably a really fun dynamic having somebody that you are married to.
Yeah.
Who gets you on an emotional and maybe spiritual level.
Right.
To then be able to help you in the physical competition, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's in the heat of the moment, there's probably nobody else you'd rather have by your side than him.
Yeah.
No matter what kind of test it really is.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's definitely an interesting, you know, because you have to kind of, he has to like make me do workouts that really hurt, or he has to like make me do workouts that he knows are going to be really hard for me, or that like I might, you know, not do well at. And like, I think it's kind of sometimes can be a hard balance to be coach and husband, but also he can tell me the like straight up truth all the time. And, you know, even if like, maybe I don't want to hear it or we argue about it or whatever, like, that is so valuable. Cause like when it's just like your friend or your, you know, your someone that you're coaching, like maybe you're going to like tiptoe around things and try to find a nice way to say it. And when it's like your husband or wife, you're just going to be like, this is the deal. Like you need to work on this. You need to be better. And so I appreciate that from him so much, you know?
Yeah. It's funny cause actually, you know, running into Matt and been around him as much as I've been around him in the last few years, I think about the way he speaks, and he's very straightforward with the way he speaks. And if he can be straightforward with the woman he loves on a regular basis, it's probably easy for him not to really care what I think so much and just be like, hey, this is what you should do, or this is what I think. Or, and it's not at all like he's rude. He's just straightforward.
Right.
And that's nice to have. And I'm sure, you know, being in your shoes, that's nice. How well does he transition, you know, for you to be that shoulder for support? Is that an easy transition? Does he understand that balance or?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that I'm pretty like, I think I'm usually pretty, I'm not like super emotional. So that doesn't happen much, but like definitely like when I was coming back from my injury and there was like a lot of like doubt of like, could I do it? Could I get better? Is there enough time? Like, there was a lot of, him just kind of like reassuring me, I guess. And that's, I think this year, I think it just after seeing like what he's done for me, what he's done for like our other athletes at our gym and the people that, you know, he's helped get so much better. And like, I finally was like, okay, I'm just going to listen to like everything he says. And like, I don't know if he would agree that I listen to everything he says, but I did a much better job this year, actually just listening. And yeah, I think he's good at, you know, when he, if I'm having a hard time, like being someone that I can talk to about it. And, I don't think that I require that often. Maybe I'm wrong.
Making his job a little
you
bit
easier.
You
have to ask
huh?
him. I don't know if that's true.
Making his job easy. That's actually really fun. So the other couple I think of, like Alex and Margo, yeah. who are like that.
Yeah.
And having them on the show at the same time
yeah.
is really interesting. Because Alex is reluctant to speak.
Yes.
Although he has got a wealth of knowledge.
Yes.
And then Margo is, you know, she's as good as she is.
Right.
And just fun to hear. And she's, I think, a little bit like you. I think mentally she's very strong.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
And, and maybe that comes with age and experience
right.
and all that stuff. So
yeah.
it is cool. It's a fun dynamic. But let's go back. You talked about him getting you kind of through the injury,
mm-hmm.
whether that be emotionally or even just in training, right?
Right.
Programming, you know, getting ready. But let's talk about the injury. What happened in 2016? You got there. You couldn't compete because of why?
Yeah. So I started having like some knee pain in January of 2016, and I just kind of tried to work around it and kept thinking it would kind of go away. Didn't go away, got an MRI, never really got a clear diagnosis, like saw a bunch of different doctors and nobody really had any answers for me. And so I did well in the Open, which sort of made me feel like, well, maybe I can still do well at regionals and like, you know, we'll wait and see what the workouts are. And, but like between the Open and regionals, my knee just got worse and worse. And the one thing I just absolutely couldn't do was a pistol. I couldn't do a single one. And,
had a few of those in 2016.
Oh God.
Yeah.
That was the day that came out was just like crushing. Like that was the day I knew like it wasn't going to happen. And then I just kind of went back and forth between deciding, am I going to go out and do, you know, the snatches, which I could maybe do a couple of, and then I could do the regional Nate cause that didn't really involve your knee.
That was easy. So you
could
do
that. So I was like, I could go out and do that. And then I could just withdraw the next day. And I basically just decided like, you know, the snatches would be really, really painful. I tried it in practice and it just, each rep was like worse and worse. And, you know, I'm an affiliate owner and like coach to all these people that like watch you. And I didn't want to go out there and just like hurt myself and like have them have to watch that. And I don't think it's a great example to set either as far as just like, I didn't know what was wrong with my knee. So I didn't really know if I was going to cause further damage. And so I decided to withdraw and then just took some time basically between the end of regionals and probably leading up through the games. I just rested a ton and did some ultrasound treatment on my knee and then just like slowly, slowly built it back after that.
Now, when you say you rested, because I'm kind of curious, I have some people who battle like nagging injuries
yeah.
and things they don't really know what's wrong.
Yeah.
For you, what did that mean to take some time off or rest a lot? Did that mean you shut down nearly everything and kind of really brought your training volume down as a whole? Or does that mean you just stayed off your knee?
I would say, so I didn't run, I didn't jump, I didn't squat, I didn't do anything that even remotely hurt my knee. Cause basically there was just like a ton of inflammation and like, especially like in my bone, my patella bone. And so, and I just kind of like cut the volume way down. We had a team that was going to the games and we were moving into a brand new space at the gym. So it was kind of like good timing. So I just like helped paint the walls and, you know, like did a lot of stuff like that, helped the team out, whatever. So it was good timing to take time off. And then I think I just started slowly, like, it's hard to remember now, but just slowly, like, first we did air squats, and then we did deadlifts, and then we did really light barbell, and getting the barbell stuff back was, like, so hard.
Did you kind of feel like you were always waiting for your knee to start hurting again?
Yeah, because yeah. I never knew what it was. And so that was really, I mean, I guess I kind of knew what it was. I knew it was my patella bone. I knew it was the, you know, bipartite patella as far as, like, what was causing the pain. But I didn't
So that, so people know, is when your patella doesn't fuse all the way.
Right.
Ever. So you basically have a two-part patella. Right.
And it can be totally like something that never causes you any pain, or it can cause you quite a bit of pain. Mm-hmm. And there's like people who get surgery for it, but that was never like recommended to me. And then the ultrasound treatment was just something that I seeked out on my own. That was one thing I learned, was like, if you do have an injury, like, I saw a lot of doctors that had zero experience with like athletes. And so they were just like, well, you shouldn't squat and you shouldn't do this. And you shouldn't, you know, like just stop doing that. You can swim. And it was like, well, you know, I want to do this. I have this, you know, I knew like what I, you know, like wanted to do. I wanted to get better. But I knew I couldn't make any like gains towards my goals with being in that much pain every day. It was just totally intolerable. Like, it's exhausting to be in that much pain every day, you know?
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, I rehabbed a pretty major injury in my shoulder, you know, a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. and I competed on it as well. Right. And you just know that you're not 100%.
Yeah.
And then even after you get better, it kind of sticks in your mind. You're right. Like, do you have a good knee and a bad knee? Like, you mm-hmm. probably think of yourself as having a good knee and a bad knee.
Right.
You know, you don't think of yourself having two 100% healthy knees.
Totally.
Even if you can get through a workout or 20 workouts, you still think of it as the one that's kind of behind,
right.
You know? And I think that the mental grind of getting through an injury is actually really good for athletes. Yeah. You know, one, it forces us to slow down sometimes when we would never have taken that much time off, right? You probably wouldn't be as healthy as you are now if you wouldn't have taken essentially a month off last year.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you tell people to take a rest week and they want to lose their mind.
Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah. You know,
it's really hard.
It's tough to do.
I did that after regionals. I was like,
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And I think too, I think I'm just now getting to the point where, you know, when I do lunges, I'm not scared of doing lunges. And when I do heavy squat cleans, I'm not scared of doing heavy squat cleans. And there was, you know, a long time where it was like, you know, your first couple of reps, you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, I can do it. And so, or even like, you know, double unders or like practicing triple unders or box jumps, like those types of things would used to really irritate my knee. And so now I'm finally at the point where I feel like I'm getting away, like I don't think about it as much. And then also it kind of gives you like a real appreciation for like a training pain-free. Because I definitely didn't realize how much that was just draining the life out of me. Just like getting yourself ready to like go through a workout, and the whole workout you're just thinking about how much your knee hurts or your shoulder hurts or whatever, you know, waiting till you do that next muscle up where it's going to be like painful, and it's the worst. And so this year was a lot more fun just because of that. Like, just because I could just enjoy the training and I could, you know, it's like, sure, you're sore and whatever, but like, I was like, I'm always so excited to be lifting. I'm so excited to be squatting because I couldn't do it for so long, you know? So it definitely gives you that appreciation of just like, yes, this is so fun. Like, I'm so pumped because I've never had an injury like that before. And so I didn't have any experience with like not being able to do stuff and just wanting to do stuff and watching everyone else around you train, like watching the team train for the games last year was hard. But now to get to do it myself, it's just like, I'm just like so excited. Like, I'm really grateful.
Yeah. So stoked, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, just to be able to move forward and then to be not just excited to train because you love training because it was taken from you for a little while, but now you have like a goal.
Yeah.
At, you know, the games this year of, you know, putting on a show or, you know, whatever. What is your goal for this season, for this games?
It's funny because I've been thinking about that, and I don't necessarily want to put like an, you know, like a placing in my head as far as like, oh, I want to be top this or top that.
As long as you're top two, I'm sure you'd be happy, right?
That'll be great. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Top two. Atta girl.
But I think I want to show up like I belong there, and I want to kind of hold my own in every workout. I absolutely want to, you know, enjoy the experience and like kind of take it all in. But I want to like compete, you know. I definitely don't want to just kind of be like, I'm, you know, I'm absolutely lucky to be there and I'm so grateful to be there, but I want to show up like, you know, I earned my spot here and I want to show that, I guess.
I feel like there's, for me, it was always, and this is at the regional level, mm-hmm. it's like for the first year or two, I was trying to prove that I belong there. Like, mm-hmm. it wasn't a fluke that I made it to regionals. Right. It's not a fluke that I'm in the top right. heat, or it's not, you know, and then all of a sudden you feel like you're just, all right, now I'm here. And,
yeah.
And you let go of kind of that need to be recognized for not being the wild card.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so I think that's a big part of it. And I think what's cool to hear you say too is like you also want to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I think that if you can go out there and just do what you know you're capable of, like you approach regionals, like I know what I'm capable of and mm-hmm. I'm going to do what I'm capable of. And that's nice when you're able to go out and just do what you know right. you can do. It sucks when you go out there and a mistake, a judging error or an injury
right.
takes you out of your element and shows and you're not able to show right. anything you can do. And you feel like you get to the end of the weekend.
Totally.
It doesn't matter if you're even in third or yeah. second. You're like, that's not even the best I could have been.
Right.
Even if you're in first sometimes, I could have done stuff way better.
Right.
You know?
Totally.
Like, I won the snatch ladder, but I didn't hit the lifts I was trying to hit.
Right.
It's still a little bit irritating.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah. And I think, you know, kind of, there's always going to be disappointment. There's always going to be, you know, judging stuff that doesn't go right or you're, you know, plan didn't go right. Like I'm not a big workout planner. But I think, yeah, I think really just being kind of like knowing yourself, the better you know yourself, the more kind of like realistic your expectations are. And then the less likely you are to be like, you know, I should have been able to go faster on that or whatever. And a lot of it is just going to be like, just letting it go, you know? And I think I've gotten better at that the older I've gotten and the more just sort of like life experience you have and like, you know, where you're just kind of able to just move on to the next event and not let that last event affect your next one.
Sure. I have a kind of different question for you. How impressed would the 27 or 28 year old version of you be with you now?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know if it's crazy for me to think about what like my life is like right now and like what my life looks like right now and the fact that I'm training for the CrossFit Games. Because I remember, you know, I have a very vivid memory of what it looked like when I started CrossFit and what it looked like when I, you know, made my first regional and I was just like so excited to be there and I just couldn't believe it. And, you know, I'd set that goal for myself and then achieved it. And that was a huge deal. And, it's really a little bit unbelievable to me when I like look around at like my life and I don't really know even how to like wrap my head around it, you know, like just looking at our gym and, you know, our members and, you know, me and Matt owning the affiliate and I don't know when they said my name and like said I was going to the games, it felt like, it really was like a dream come true. Like it's something that I really, really dreamed of and that I worked for every single day. And I stayed at the gym late so many days, like so many days when I wanted to go home and I just stayed, you know, and I just was like, told myself, just do this one more workout. Like just stay here and do this. Like it's gonna matter. And to have all that stuff pay off, like just felt so good, you know? I think that my 28-year-old self would be kind of blown away.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool. I didn't know what you would say, and so I'm glad I asked it. You know, it's kind of weird. You know, you look back in where you're at, and, you know, I haven't necessarily accomplished the same things that I wanted to in sport.
Right.
But some of the other things in the other areas of my life, I'm just, like, so blown away.
Right.
And just, it's kind of cool when you stay consistent, when you have passion,
mm-hmm.
when you have like a vision of right. where you want to be, even if you don't get there, but that vision is strong, if it will carry you so close or
totally.
So far, and it's cool.
Totally.
And I think that was one reason why, and then now it's just the two of us having a conversation mm-hmm. for a second, because it wasn't that for the last 25 minutes, 30 minutes, but I was towards the end of my regional weekend, I'd started to kind of disengage
mm-hmm.
a little bit because I felt like I wasn't learning as much at that stage mm-hmm. anymore,
right.
you know? And with the workouts that were in front of me and the tasks that were in front of me and the opponents that I really had, mm-hmm. I didn't think I could like overtake them. And that could be a little bit mental weakness on my part. Right. It could be a couple different things. Right. But I just started to kind of disengage. And I think that, the cool thing for you, like as me being super jealous of where you're at, like you get to take everything that you have been learning, yeah. everything you have been stockpiling. And it's not just the games. Like the games are cool because they're visual and they're like everybody sees them.
Right.
But it's just cool that this mature, you know, 35-year-old athlete right. that has busted her tail,
right.
like given up probably way more things than mm-hmm. anybody else in like this world really understand, gets to go to Madison and just test it.
Yeah.
Gets to go anywhere right. and test it. Yeah. And most people don't live in a world where they really get to test themselves so they can know themselves.
Right.
You know? So like I said, that's just really cool yeah. to me to watch.
Totally. And I think, I think it's like you're talking about with the, just like being passionate about things and, you know, like you can tell like, you know, that you have that with your family and like, it's all, it's in all these different areas, you know, of our lives. And I think that I was never somebody growing up that, I didn't know what I was going to ever do with my life. I didn't have like a plan. I had no idea what I wanted to like be when I grew up or like what my life would look like. And so to just sort of have this life kind of like unfold slowly with just like someone being like, hey, you know, we want you to coach at our gym and then, you know, and then becoming the owners and then, you know, wanting to compete and just like getting to go back, you know, year after year and getting to like learn every year, you know, kind of a little bit more and feeling like I was always like one of the less experienced people like amongst veterans. And then to go back this year was the first time I felt like I was like one of those people. And yeah, it's just kind of amazing when you really love something, like when you really, really love something, like, and I love CrossFit for all these different reasons of like what it's done for my, you know, family and what it's done for me and Matt and what it's done for me and then what it's done for all my members and sort of just the opportunities that I've been given, like just through like, you know, deciding one day that I want to be just like in some sort of good shape, is really crazy. And it just like, for me, makes me believe in the kind of like the way the universe just kind of like gives you whatever is right for you next. And I think for me, it was just, this was the right year, you know? And like when they announced that it was going to be in Wisconsin this year, my whole family's from Wisconsin. I grew up going there every single year for the summer. And like, we'd swim in Lake Michigan. And when they announced that, that was like this sort of moment, like, this has got to be it. Like, this is it, you know? And other people were like, Wisconsin, what's in Wisconsin?
You're
and
like,
I was like,
family.
Sweet. Yeah. So it felt right. And it just like this, you know, the weekend at regionals felt right. Like everything just felt so good, you know? And last year, you know, I would have just been forcing it if I would have tried to compete. Like it just was like me just big banging my head against the wall being like, I have to go to regionals. I have to go to regionals. I've been training for this. And this year was like, yeah, like I'm going to take care of myself and I'm going to train really hard and, never regret any of the things I've given up, like, you know, sacrifices, whatever, to train more. It's just like, it's what I want to do. It's what I want to do every day, you know? And lucky for me, all my family comes in and visits me at the gym. So I don't miss out on that stuff. But it's pretty cool. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, no kidding. And I'm not sure. I know we're kind of getting close on time. Speaking of yeah. family, you've got some family obligations, yeah. you know, and that's really obvious when I look at you that you really care a great deal about your family, which is cool.
Yeah.
It's not like this super selfish athlete where he's like, yeah. as an athlete, you have to be selfish. And I'm like, I always kind of irritate when people right. say that because I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
If you're passionate about something, it doesn't mean you have to be like always selfish.
Right.
You can
you're
be
just choosing
back.
What to do with your free time. And I think it's like, rather than like being at work for like 8 hours a day, I mean, I'm technically at work 8 hours a day cause I'm at the gym, but, and then you just find other, you know, places. Like anytime I have free time, I make sure that I text my sisters and say like, hey, let's get the girls together or bring the girls to the gym or, you know, I'll pick them up and take them somewhere. Like, so how you spend your free time, your little bits of free time, like that's where you get that, you know, extra
yeah,
stuff in.
Totally.
So.
And so I like I said, I know you're not necessarily probably prepared to answer this question, but you told me there was nothing I couldn't ask. So
oh God.
I just want to ask, I mean, you're always around little kids, you know, little girls.
And, I know. And I'm 35.
And you're 35. And nobody has to remind you you're 35, right? But I'm going to remind you you're 35 and I'm almost 35 next month and I'm four kids in. So,
yeah, you know, really got to jump on it here.
Yeah. So I'm winning. I'm winning when it comes to
you
that.
And Blair have me beat for sure there.
If it's really a competition. So I don't know. Is it a competition for you? Yes. Is that something that you,
every year I say that the next year doesn't sound that old. So like last year I was like 35 doesn't sound that old to have kids. And this year I'm like, well, 36 doesn't sound that old to have kids.
Do you record that and then play it back and say if you say
it feels like it? I mean, I'm like, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I guess I like assume that I'll have kids, you know. Not necessarily somebody who's been like dreaming of being a mother my whole life or like, you know, pictured that. I just didn't picture anything for myself as an adult. And so but I think that we'll probably have kids, like, but I don't know. It'd be really hard to say that I wouldn't want to go back next year because this was so fun. So maybe at least one more year.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. Hey, it's your life. I'm just watching. I'm just curious from the outside.
I know. A lot of people ask me that though. Like my sisters are like, come on.
I think we just asked them to see how engaged you are with your nieces.
I love them.
You know, and how much you know, you just have that and you've got this big heart. And
it's
so I think
so
we just want
fun.
To see what kind of mom you'd be if that's what you so choose to do.
I think so. And I think, you know, like I'd love to, I know Matt would be like the cutest dad ever. So like, I guess I just like assume we'll have kids.
Is that a dad bod joke or is that?
Yes. No, she...
no, it's not.
No, he'll be just so sweet. He's so sweet. He takes care of everybody. He does like so much for us, all the athletes this year. I mean, he's just like, he just took care of all of us, you know, and he just cares so much about what everybody's doing and what we're doing. And, you know, he unfortunately shows that to us through like horrible workouts, but we were all really prepared this year. So.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. You guys represented really, really well.
It was
like
awesome.
I only ask because I don't think it's the same as what everybody else thinks sometimes was like, it validates your marriage or your womanhood or anything like that. I just see how you are with your nieces.
Totally.
And this girl
that's
would
a,
be a really like fun mom. You
some
know
people
I mean?
Are like, oh, those aren't your kids. I'm like, no.
I just am with them a lot. Okay.
Yeah. And just maybe obsessed
that's,
with them.
That's maybe partly why you don't have this necessary urge to go have kids
that's
right
true.
Now.
That's true. I mean,
be around them.
Yeah. And so I see the real life, what it's like, you know, they come over to my house and it's like a tornado and it's so fun.
Yeah.
But then they leave and we're like, bye guys.
See ya. I'm glad I get
and then
to
we just lay on the couch.
And you get to relax and talk about CrossFit.
Do whatever we want.
Whatever you
want
to do.
Yeah.
You know? So,
sleep in. So.
Yeah. So here we are, July almost. So you're about 30 days out. We're just going to say we're going to round it 30 days out.
Yes, 30 days.
Right?
Yep.
30 days out. From here till then, what's the focus?
I think the focus will be the same as it has been for the last like couple weeks here, which is just like building the volume. Like I want to be able to handle a long week of working out, which I do think I'm pretty good at. And then just kind of like, I mean, I don't know. I think it's just really going to be, it's just like doing a lot of workouts, like doing a lot of running, getting out in the sun, getting uncomfortable. That really has been the biggest thing for me. We watched the behind the scenes recently and I was like, okay, I need to like be ready to be uncomfortable. I watched that trail run and I mean, that looked crazy and like just to be ready for anything so that if it's like, okay, you know, you're waking up at this time and going to do this and it's hot and dirty and it's going to be 3 hours long or whatever, I'll just be like, okay, I just want to be ready for anything. So.
Well, as we wrap up, I'm going to throw out something that maybe you could try.
Yes.
Hopefully Matt listens to this because I'm going to post this episode like tonight or tomorrow.
Okay, cool.
And it's called, well, it's a nose breathing mile, but what you have to do is you have to fill your mouth with water.
Oh God, for a mile?
And then you run a mile and when you come back, you have to spit it out.
Oh God, that sounds awful.
Yes, so you take it out of a cup.
And have you done that?
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I only said because I just heard about it this
week. Tell me how it is and then I'll consider it.
You're the games athlete. I think that, You should, and then you get like a solo cup. Like
oh my God.
And you drink the water. Yeah. And we come back and you spit it out. It's got to be the same volume.
Right. Oh my God.
You can't drink like half of it and then kind of do this little side thing.
I feel like you'd choke.
Yeah, I know.
Good
but
Lord.
I thought about it. And as far as mental training.
Right.
And you know, whatnot. I think it'd be okay. And I practiced a little bit. I only ran once this week and I didn't put water in my mouth, but I just breathed
out of your nose.
Inhale, exhale through my nose.
Was it way harder?
It was not way harder
right.
on my body, but mentally,
right.
just not to relax, let my mouth hang open and take air yeah. in just freely. It kind of sucked.
I feel like that would make me like claustrophobic.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It has this weird like panicky yeah. type feel to it. Right.
But it's like when swimming,
but when Dave says, hey, we're in Wisconsin and we're going to do like this midnight swim across right. the water and you have yeah. to track this light
right.
or something, or here's a compass
yeah.
and we need you to rucksack from here to there.
Right.
You know, and we're going to release you guys in 15-minute
yeah.
increments. So that way you guys all have to leave. You know what I mean? Like something random.
Won't panic.
I'm just giving Dave ideas right now. It's what I do. He texted me a second ago. And was like, hey, you've got Pedro on your show, right? Freak her out real quick. Tell her there's blow torches and crazy stuff.
I'm ready.
Yeah. So anyway, it's just a way of testing that mental toughness, man. No big deal. You don't have to try it.
Oh
I would
God.
If I was
your
coach. So, or if I just wanted to torture my wife.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, then maybe.
I mean, I programmed for my gym like three or four times, you know, and they all crush it. So
they all loved it, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it was great.
I'm sure everybody showed up that day.
Yeah, everybody showed up. Yeah, it was like a nose breathing, like 10K. No big deal. And then you did max effort assault bike calories
oh
in one
God.
Minute.
Oh, my God. With the water still in your mouth.
With the water still in your mouth, yeah.
Perfect.
With a weight vest on and an elevation training mask. I really think it's getting them real fit.
Oh, my God. So that sounds awful.
We're coming for Davis next year.
Okay. All right.
it was really good to catch up with you.
Yeah, you too.
If people want to follow you, how do they do that?
On Instagram, my what's it called, handle? At K Pedri.
I just say my name on Instagram is? Or
at K Pedri.
K Pedri.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and you guys, you can always find us at BTB Podcast. On Instagram. You can also subscribe to our newsletter. Check out our website, BTB Podcast.